What's up, guys? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. In today's episode, we are talking to a very successful health and safety consultant that's going to give us a two-part episode on how to build a consultancy. Let's go.
The problem in safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution and one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviors.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding Safety, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Fluent. Okay, guys, like I say, today's guest has an extensive background in building business to the point where he built such a successful award-winning consultancy in the first year. They were turning over six figures. It's all in partnership with his wife, Kate. They've now got their own YouTube channel as well, and they're vlogging their experience. And now they've started a business coaching kind of mastermind business as well. So we kind of got in touch with him to kind of give us some insights on how to build that consultancy that you're probably thinking of doing towards the tail end of your career, maybe. I think with Simon's kind of experience of building a business and being a consultant, and then my kind of opinionated, critical opinion of consultants will kind of hopefully provide you with a real kind of critical conversation as to whether you should be a consultant and the complications of building that and the challenges of building that. And also, if you decide, yes, I'm going to do this, some tips and tricks, etc., and some lessons learned, so to speak, from Simon's experience as well. So without further ado, let's get into part one of the two-part series where we talk about building a consultancy with Simon. Let's get into the podcast. Simon, welcome to the podcast. Why don't you give us a quick introduction to yourself and like your business, and then basically we're just going to kind of get into your journey over the kind of next two episodes about kind of building a consultancy.
Yeah, sure. My name's Simon Walter, and I run a health and safety consultancy called Rhino Safety Limited. We've been running for about 5 years now. So we set up in June 2015. So it's me and my wife as the directors, and we have seven staff in total. We work nationwide, and we had 134 clients before the coronavirus hit. So yeah, interesting times at the moment. We've lost a couple of clients. We've actually put some of our clients on a payment holiday. So we've got a number of clients in the event industry, and obviously weddings, large festivals have all been cancelled, so they've got no cash flow for, I don't know, a good 3 months. And we've been in a lot of contact with our clients, and we're trying to help them as much as possible. So we have lost some. We do a lot of work with the aviation industry as well, and one of our clients was working for Virgin Atlantic, who again have had to pull the plug on them as well. So it is interesting times. But yeah, we are a consultancy. So a lot of people get confused between a health and safety training provider and a health and safety consultancy service. Okay. We did set up predominantly to be a consultancy training. We do a little bit of online training, and a little bit of awareness training, but we're not accredited. We don't do IOS training or anything like that. Personally, I'm a chartered member of IOSH, and I sit on the peer review panel as well for IOSH. My wife, she's a director of the business as well. She runs the admin side, the accounts side, and manages all that. Her background is employment law.
Okay.
So she's very good at the softer skills that I'm not particularly good with when it comes to dealing with personnel issues and things like that. That's what Kate deals with. I'm very much more business focused, very much more into the sales aspect of things, as obviously as well as being the head safety consultant as well. Mm. So that's a little bit about Rhino and a little bit about us.
And we'll get on to, you've got another consultancy as well. You give us a business kind of coaching business. Would that be the right way to describe it?
Yeah. So when we first sold Rhino, we didn't want it to be Simon Walter Safety Consultancy. We knew we always wanted it to be something bigger. And not just a one-man band. That, you know, that was our, we didn't have a specific goal, but that it was to be not just a one-person band. So a lot of questions I get asked is, why Rhino Safety? And coming up with the name of the business was one of the most difficult things we had to do. So we'd written a business plan. We'd asked someone to start a website for us. We'd done all this really in-depth work, and we'd kind of left the name to the end, thinking, well, that's just going to be fairly straightforward. Let's get the business plan in place. Let's look at trying to pick up some clients. We'll get a name, you know, in a week or so. And we then started to think about names.
Please don't tell me your name comes from Lead Rhinos, because it's not even a proper rugby. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. Not even proper rugby. Do you know what I mean? That's so frustrating.
Well, I think we're going to have to end this podcast right here. So, yeah, I mean, that's where it comes from. You kind of spoiled the story now.
Sorry. I just couldn't resist. I knew you were a fan from watching your vlog, and I was like, oh, God, he's a league fan.
So we tried to, when we came up, when we wanted the name, it had to meet a couple of prerequisites. So it had to be able to generate a logo. The name, I wanted a logo to come from the name of the business. So it had to be able to generate a logo. It had to be memorable, and it had to be in some way related to safety. So I wanted like shield safety. I think Kate came up with signature safety. I think we threw around a few other safety related ideas. And then when we came to look at register them on Companies House, the names were gone. Mm. Or when we looked at the domain name, we couldn't get the domain. So it was really difficult trying to juggle, you know, what's already been registered on Companies House, what domain name is available. And then I thought back to, well, how did my last company that we used to work for, how did they get in their name? And that was football related. So then I thought, well, I support Leeds Rhinos. So why not Rhino Safety? It generates a logo, it's memorable, and rhinos, you think secure, safe, strong, and things like that. So we spoke to our marketing guy who was looking at doing the website and business cards and et cetera for us. And he was like, yeah, I'll go, you know, we should go with Rhino Safety. So it is rugby league related. Did used to play rugby union until I was about 18. And then I went to play rugby league. So my dad's from Leeds originally, so went to all the away games when I was little. So so my passion's there. My passion is for rugby league. Sorry.
So are you like a dual fan? Do you watch both, or is it just league now?
Just league. It's always been league. Yeah. My dad was from Leeds, and I grew up in Warrington. But the school that I went to, you could only play union. So I played union straight from school, from 11. Used to play on a Saturday for the school, and then on a Sunday for the club. Did that until I was about 18. Played at county level as well. So played for Cheshire. A few times, and always watched league, never really watched union, didn't like watching union, just played it. And then I can't remember how I got into it. Just one day I was like, right, I want to go and play league. So I went down, didn't know what I was doing. They put me on the wing and it was brilliant. Starts. Loved it.
And it doesn't matter whether you're union or league, everyone starts on the wing. Where you go down to like, whether you're going to the social club or whatever, it's like, if you played rugby before, oh, I've played it, doesn't matter, get on the wing.
Yeah. Absolutely loved it. And then I had kids and, started working in business and things like that. So then I had to kind of give it a miss because going to business meetings with a black eye, didn't really help. Going back to the original question, when we set up Rhino, my dad used to run his own business. We've always had business mentors around us. So I always used to, throw ideas around with him because, business is tough. Business is difficult. It isn't easy. So I used to always throw ideas around with him, pick his brains. He used to run a big printing company in Warrington for 40 odd years. So we found it extremely important to have these people around us. And then he used to also keep in touch with one of my ex-bosses as well from a couple of jobs ago. And again, I'd buy him a coffee and say, look, we've got this problem at the moment, or just generally have a bit of a chat about business things. And then we joined a business mastermind group, a guy called Nick James. We went to a conference that he was running. Because he was bringing a guy called Grant Cardone into the UK to do some talking, a very good sales guy. We went to that event and we signed up to Nick's mastermind. It was down in Birmingham. We were a member there for 12 months. And one day, Kate and I were driving back and we said, this is amazing. It's really, really good. We get so much value out of this as business owners. We get so much direction, help, assistance that, we wouldn't get if we weren't part of this mastermind. Why don't we set up something ourselves in Cheshire? Because there's nothing around here. There's an abundance of networking meetings. You could go, networking for breakfast, lunch and dinner every day of the week. But there's no mastermind groups. We'd hardly ever heard of them until we went to this conference. And so that was where the idea of Raw Business Coaching came in. We've been on a business journey. Kate and I have been running businesses for, 10 years now. And it's not easy. And I think you do need help from other people, from other like-minded people. And we just thought, we can set up our own mastermind. We can take the best bits from other masterminds, other books we've read, and things like that. And we can kind of package that together and offer it out to people that we know. So it was kind of started on a whim as such, and we thought, we'll set it up, we will push something out there on Facebook and let's see. What we were finding was with Rhino Safety, we were getting phone calls from people that we knew, people that we met at networking, asking us non-safety related questions like, what should I do about this member of staff? Or I've got a problem with this client, or so-and-so's not paying. So when we set up Raw Business Coaching, we had these people in mind. So I think there's about half a dozen. So we thought, well, we'll set this up and this will be perfect. This will be spot on for them. Because, they're always asking us for little, tips and advice on business. So we set it up. We sent them an email. And none of them were interested.
Interesting.
So it was a massive, it was very, very disappointing.
Mm. Did you get to the root cause as to why?
We've got theories. I think you've got to be in the right mindset. You've got to be willing to learn and willing to grow. And not everyone is on the same path as you. Not everyone is as ambitious as Kate and I. And some people are happy, you know, not being the biggest, not, you know, just turning over enough to cover their salary. They're never going to take people on. So obviously that was very disappointing and a bit of a shock. But like I said, business isn't easy. It isn't easy to do, or else everyone would be doing it.
I think that's... Sorry, carry on. Go on.
Well, I was just going to say, so we got to that point and I think a lot of people at that stage would be completely disheartened and maybe, you know, jack it in completely and not proceed. So we had some serious conversations about it and we thought, well, let's just go for it anyway and see, let's just see what happens. We might as well now, you know, we've not really got much to lose. So we'd sent obviously this message out to these six companies who weren't interested. So what we did, we posted it publicly on Facebook. And I think we posted it on LinkedIn as well. And we got six inquiries came through in like a week. And I think we needed four to make it viable. Because what the mastermind is, we meet every month at a Whitechwood Park Hotel and Conference Center, which is it's like a PGA Tour golf club locally to us. So we had to get in. I think we had to get four members to just cover the costs of that. It was never set up to generate loads of money. Never set up for that. It was set up solely to help other business owners. So we needed four to sign up, and we got six that signed up, but they weren't the six that we want, that we originally targeted, but there were six businesses that were much more established than the businesses that we had originally targeted. They were bigger, the turnovers were bigger. And I think what we had done was unknowingly kind of played ourselves down. We weren't reaching high enough. We weren't, you know, rather than, you know, going to like, this is a mastermind, for established businesses, for businesses wanting to grow. I think we were trying to, you know, play it safe. And looking back now, it certainly worked better than what we thought. And if we had jacked it in after, you know, not getting the six that we wanted or that we initially thought we would get, we obviously wouldn't be where we are now.
That's interesting. There's a lot of stuff you kind of said there that I think is synonymous of a lot of people starting any kind of business, is that the one there's a few things I want to jump on, but just to pick one out for now, is that granted that, you know, when you said you emailed those few existing clients from your I'd say previous, but it's still, I know Rhino Safety is still ongoing. So from Rhino Safety, you had those clients that you thought, wow, they'll love this kind of new package. And I think that resonates with quite comically, but from, I don't know if you ever watched How I Met Your Mother, the comedy TV show that was on Channel 4. It's just it's like crap telly basically, but it was really funny. Okay. And anyway, there's this character in it who's like an architect and he always wanted to start off on his own. And there's this kind of comedy sketch around, he starts on his own. And then, so he gets his website, he does all the kind of normal stuff. And he says on the internet, we're open for business. And then for a day, just kind of sits staring at the phone and the phone doesn't ring. And I just think that is something that I think a lot of business owners struggle with, whether it's because for several reasons, say, and I know, granted, you were saying it wasn't the fact that the clients weren't there. It was that you were talking to the wrong clients, essentially, and you were unaware of that. But I think for other people, it is part of that. Maybe it's also part of like the clients that are after, you know, McPherson business, for example, they don't know that McPherson business is open. Like this stuff doesn't just happen overnight. It's slow, isn't it? Like how, if I was to say to you, let's say to you, I came to you and said, you know, Simon, I started my business 2 weeks ago. I've had no calls. You know, it's how to get through that initial slow.
Yeah. We see this quite often. And there's a saying called, burn your boats. And it comes from the I think it was the Greek wars many years ago, where when they were invading another island, when the armies landed, the captain or the commander would order the boats to be burned. So the soldiers, the only option for them was to fight. They were either going to die or they were going to win. There was no option. There's no retreat. You couldn't just jack it in and leave. And when we set up Rhino, there was no other option. It wasn't like, oh, you know, well, we'll set up Rhino on the side and we'll keep doing a bit of 9 to 5 and we'll do a bit of Rhino in the evenings. And we see that all the time. And that's good to start with, but there comes a point where you've just got to go at it full time. You know, there's the people that we speak to, and they're like, oh, like you said, there's no calls coming in. It's like, okay, well, how many people did you call today? Well, I didn't call any because I'm still doing my 9 to 5. Okay, well, you've got an hour at lunch, you know, you've got when you finish at 5 o'clock, you know, who've you been calling then? But if you haven't got time for that and your passion is to start your own business, you've got to leave your 9 to 5. You've got to burn your boats. You're never going to get to where you want to be if you're trying to juggle both things at once. And when Kate and I set up Rhino, there wasn't another option for us. We had 3 months to turn over enough money to pay the mortgage. So everything was very focused on making enough money to meet those mortgage payments. It was tough, but we were focused forwards. We weren't going, oh, well, if, you know, if we don't turn over enough, it's all right. We, you know, we've got a 9 to 5 on the go. Or if after 2 months we haven't turned over enough, I'll just jack it in and go back to our old job. We didn't have that. And that wasn't necessarily on purpose. It just wasn't an option to go back. We had to go forwards. And it was difficult. It was very stressful. It was very tough. But the focus was on, right, where do we get these businesses? How do we spend our time now to get new clients? And what you have when you first start a business, you have time. You've got, I mean, we were working, we still do now, but we weren't just working a 9 to 5, you know, we were doing 7, 7, 7, 8, whatever it took. But what you need to do is you need to get out there. You need to meet as many people as possible. So, I mean, one of the first things I did, and I remember this really clearly, and some people think it was a bit of a crazy thing to do, but I went through Google and I Googled all our local competitors, and I emailed, I think there were 6 of them, and I emailed all of them and said, look, we're starting a health and safety consultancy. Could we meet for a coffee? And there may be some, you know, we might be able to do some referral work. And let's just have a chat. And out of the 6, I think 5 of them came back and said, yeah, let's meet up. So I met with them. We had a coffee and we've done business through that. Because you've got to bear in mind that we don't do training. Some of these competitors did training and consultancy, but didn't do construction or didn't do CDM. So what we were able to do is to actually use them to refer work to each other. So that helped massively. But a lot of people were like, cool, you're going to see a competitor. Ooh. You know, and it got a bit, like, frowned a little bit about that. And, you know, sometimes we just had a coffee and nothing ever came of it. But other times we got business from it, and it's just, you know, about doing that. And then the other thing I did, I picked up the phone and I just rang or emailed people and said, or emailed successful business people that I found in like the Chamber of Commerce magazine, and just said, look, love what you're doing, love to buy you a coffee and just have a chat about how you've done it. So I was just going around and just buying people coffee. That's one of our successes, is coffee. We were just meeting people. Kate was going out. And yes, you've got the networking groups. And yes, we hit those networking groups as well. But also building those one-to-one relationships, you know, and sometimes stuff came from it, but sometimes things didn't. But in the early days of business, you've got the time to do that. You know, we don't do it now. We haven't got the time. I've got 134 clients to look after, 7 staff, loads of stuff going on, which is great. And now I don't have the time. But back then, you know, we did have the time to get out there. And I'd just, anyone looking to set up the business, if you're sat at home in the early stages of your business, twiddling your thumbs, not doing anything, you're doing something wrong, because there's always something to do. The other thing that we did, when I'm talking about you having time, at a networking event, we got chatting to a company that helps charities out. So what they do, they match skills donors with charities. So they approached us and said, look, we get asked for health and safety advice. Would you be willing to offer your services for free to charities? And you get a testimonial, and we'll get some PR. So we did one. We helped our community cycle shop. So basically what they do, they take in bikes, they do them up and they sell them on for a bit of a profit. So that went really well. Did a health and safety policy. And I think it was about a month later, we got a phone call from Crewe Town Council to say they've been recommended our services from this charity that we've been doing work for. So we actually got business off the back of giving our time for free. Like I said before, you've got the time. In the early stages of your business, you've got the time. So what we did after that, we then went back and approached Cheshire Connect, which is the business that puts companies and charities together. We approached them and we said, look, you know, we love what you're doing, and we'd love to do, you know, charitable work, but we don't have, you know, we don't have thousands of pounds to give away to charity, but we have got our time. So what we want to do, we want to help out one charity a month for 12 months. So I think it was, you know, within the first 12 months of starting Rhino, we'd helped out, I think it was like 15 charities for free. And like I said, we got some work from it, which was great. We got a lot of testimonials and we got our name out there. And I think it's so important to get your name out there, certainly early on. You know, you might be the best health and safety consultant in the world, but if no one knows about you, no one's going to use you. So what happened off the back of that as well is we got a business award. And again, it wasn't something that we didn't sit down and go, right, let's help 12 charities and we'll get a business award. We got a business award for contribution to the community for all our charitable work, which we again got our name out there. And again, it was using our time to actually go out there and help as many people as possible. And awards is something that again has helped us grow. And we were 6 months into Rhino Safety, and someone mentioned that the Chamber of Commerce were doing business awards and we should apply. And Kate and I sat down and we were like, what's the point? You know, we're 6 months old. We haven't done enough. We're not going to win. Why bother? And it was very, obviously, very negative thinking. So we just thought, well, why not? Let's just put it in. And Kate's brilliant when it comes to writing. I'm not particularly good. And I think that's why we work well, because Kate and I are different but work towards the same goal. I don't know if that makes sense. So she's much more, like I said before, got the softer skills, got the presentation skills. I've got more of a business head on me, like the selling, like doing the health and safety stuff. So we just put the application in. We did it. We put it in and thought, well, worst that's going to happen is we're not going to get anywhere. So we got a phone call back to say that we've been made finalists. So this was for Startup of the Year. So Startup of the Year 2015, I think. So we got a phone call to say we've been finalists, one of three finalists. And then we had to have an interview by it was Cheshire East Council, because they were sponsoring the award. They do the judging. So we had to go to the council, the council building. We had to take a load of, well, we had to prepare and take a load of evidence. So we got all, as much stuff as we had, which wasn't much after 6 months of training. And we were interviewed on what we'd done. And we managed to win. And a big part of why we won was because within 6 months, we had managed to turn over a profit. But we'd also helped out a number of charities as well. So when the judges were looking at us and comparing us to other businesses, the other businesses had turned over a profit, but hadn't actually helped charities out. Mm. And they saw us and saw that we'd done so much in such a short period of time. The negative that we had by saying, well, we've only been going 6 months, in the judge's eyes was a positive.
Yeah.
So that was massive, massive for us. And obviously that was sponsored by South Cheshire Chamber of Commerce. So that immediately, within 6 months, exposed us to all their members.
Yeah.
We were out there, all these photos were done, and we're out there in their chamber magazine and things like that. So, you know, that was massive for us. And like I said before, one of the main things that you need to do when you're first setting up is get your name out there to as many people as possible. Pick up the phone, meet people at networking groups. Just ask them, you know, what can I help you with? What do you need a hand with? You know, COVID-19 at the moment, everyone needs risk assessments, policies, help and assistance on what do we do? How do we bring people back to work? People are going to need risk assessments. Every business is going to need a risk assessment. So if you're looking to start up a consultancy now, you know, I know a lot of people say don't start up a business in a recession. But if you actually look historically at the companies that did set up in a recession, I think something like McDonald's was set up in a recession. I think IBM was. I think Microsoft was, and maybe Apple as well. They were all set up in a recession, and certainly health and safety at the moment is at the forefront. Is at the forefront of everyone's mind. So,
and I think that's it's a good point to on timing, which is something I wanted to touch on with you guys. And I know you kind of alluded to there in your story as to. It, for you, it just kind of happened. But for some people, it doesn't just happen. I think it's a decision. They might have worked their way up to a director position, a manager position, or not even that. You know, they might have been very comfortable in a consultant role, an advisor role, whatever, made redundant and just thought, screw it, or whatever. Some people make the decision. Some people get forced into the decision. But
yeah.
that timing thing for people, you know, there's always going to be the question, isn't there? Like, is this the right time? Like, would it be fair to, I don't know, would it be fair to say, if you're asking that question, maybe it's never going to be the right time? Like, or is that a valid question?
Yeah, it's never the right time. Yeah. It's literally never the right time. I mean, personally, like I said before, my dad used to run a business. I remember at high school, I did an MVQ in business. I've always wanted to run my own business. You know, I did MVQ in business in high school. And then I did night school for 4 years to do a degree in business management. I've always wanted to run a business. I think you can get too into the details of it, and there's always something that isn't going to be right. There's always something that you're like, is now the right time? Oh, I've just, you know, I've just had my first child. Is now the right time? And I don't think it ever is going to be the right time. But if it's something you want to do, you just need to take that leap and do it, or else you're always going to be wondering, what if? You know, if I hadn't done it, I mean, I don't think I'm employable now anyway, having worked for myself for so long. But looking back, I think whenever I was working for someone else, I was always thinking, well, why are they doing this that way? I don't agree. I think this should be different. I can't see why. I don't understand. This can be done better. I think I was always seeing those. Not to say I was right every time, but I think I was always frustrated that things weren't how I would like them to be. So it's something that I've always had in me. I've always wanted to do it. And situation just happened for us to start Rhino. And was it the right time? No. Was it an easy time starting? No. It certainly wasn't under the best circumstances. So I think if we can do it under those, into that situation, then I think anyone could do it. And yeah. Personally, at this moment in time, are people buying? Are businesses buying? No, I don't think so. Will they be buying in the, you know, within 4 weeks, within the next month? Yeah, I do think we'll start coming out of it now. We've certainly got busier this week than we were last week. Right. So I do think, you know, I do think we are going to slowly start returning back to, I won't say normal, because I don't think we're going to, well, it's not going to be the same as what it was 6 months ago. But I do think now is a good time to put the foundations in place. Because, I mean, there'll be loads of people out there now that have been furloughed. You know, but there'll be loads of people sat at home thinking, well, I've always wanted to start my own business. Why don't I speak? Yeah, why not? Yeah. You've got the time now to write a business plan. You don't know how to write a business plan, then, you know, go on YouTube, go on Google. Not that complicated to do. Just start thinking about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, because, you know, give it a few weeks and I think people are going to start buying again. Mm. So the economy needs to keep going.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a shameless sponsorship clip. In all seriousness, guys, we've partnered up with DRM Group. You know, David McLean, he's been on the podcast time and time again. We absolutely support his message, and he's got a brand new online course to help you. I'm going to let him tell you all about it now.
The brain can be trained to think and behave differently, to think in more positive and optimistic ways. And there are steps that you can take to train your brain to feel good for good. And we call this lasting positive change. Through our 16-day program, which includes daily videos and action sheets taking you no longer than 15 minutes to complete a day, you will learn how to move away from thoughts of anger, hopelessness and frustration to a place of mental well-being and positivity.
Okay, guys, so if you're interested, you can click the link below and get a discount, special rebranding safety discount. Full disclosure, we get a little bit kickback from that. So at the same time as improving your mental health, you can support your favorite health and safety podcast and YouTube channel. I'll let you get back into the content.
So would you say it was more not a case of timing? It was a case of you know, if I want to do this, I want my own business. If you have that kind of, like I listen to a lot of Gary Vaynerchuk, and he says, like, he describes it as, if you feel like you can't breathe working for somebody else, then you need to go. And I feel like it's a, there is a case to argue, like, there is a point, if you're in a stable kind of, there is a point where you'll think, now's the opportunity to go. But in that moment, it's like you just said, you know, is it ever going to be the right time or not? 100% is going to be like, now's the right time. It could be a partially educated decision. Yeah. If you're in a good enough position to be able to say, I'm going to set up my business plan now whilst I'm being furloughed, and then for the next 5 years, for example, and start saving some money, that may or may not work, it doesn't matter. But then some people just get thrown into it. But it comes more down to the point, from the research I've done, is that if you feel like you need to work for yourself, at some point you got to suck it and see. And if it don't work, then you'll be able to go back to work at some point. But
you've
got to suck it and see.
Well, we were going to make it work regardless, you know, one way or another. It was going to work. We had to, you know, we had to make it work. There was no other option. In some way, shape or form, it was going to work. And, you know, like I said, I've done a degree in business management. My dad used to run a company. I was always going to run a business at some point in my life. I knew that was going to happen. It just so happened that the opportunity arose when I was in health and safety. And if I look back over everything that I'd done in my work career, you know, I started as an apprenticeship. I started an apprentice at the National Nuclear Corporation, based in Knutsford. So we were building things for Sellafield, for all the nuclear power stations around the UK. And that exposed me to obviously health and safety at an early stage. But the good thing there was they were paid for all my training. So I think I did a HNC, a HND. They paid for my degree. So I did a degree in business management. So would it have been wrong to set up with the wrong time to set up a business then? Yes, I didn't have the experience. I didn't deal with clients. I was just building things. Mm. However, part of the apprenticeship was to go around each department. So we would visit each department and spend, I think it was 6 months in each department, maybe 3 months. So that was seeing things like HR, accounts, actually on the shop floor working. I remember we're using an air sander for about 8 hours a day for the whole week. Sanding I remember it vividly. They wanted the owner of the business, or I think it was he must have been the director of the Warrington factory that we were in. He needed a cross for his church, stainless steel cross. So they welded two steel bars together. And for a week, I had to use an air sander on different grades to try and get it as a mirror finish as possible. Mm. I remember standing there 8 hours a day sanding this cross down. And it came to the Friday, and the guy came around and looked at it and threw it in the bin. I was absolutely gutted. It wasn't my fault. But but where they'd welded it, however much you polished it, you could still see where they'd welded the joints in. I was gutted a whole week of my life had just gone, and it was, you know, pretty backbreaking stuff. And they ended up just machining one. so that obviously wasn't the right time, you know, looking back. But then as I progressed through different jobs, each job that I went and worked for exposed me to a different element of business. So the next job I did was running a service desk for a health and safety consultant. No, it wasn't health and safety, for an IT consultancy. So we were looking after other businesses' IT and IT infrastructure. So I was looking I mean, at the peak before I left, I was managing, I think there were 30 engineers and service desk, you know, telephone operators and things like that. So that gave me an insight into hiring people, interviewing people, doing appraisals. Again, that business is very, very good at training you up. So they're paying for a lot of training, and that's the business that I still kept in touch with. The owner is actually a client of ours now as well, which is brilliant.
Awesome.
So I massively got a lot of my management skills from that business and a lot of my customer service skills. So we were very heavily targeted on KPIs. So key performance indicators. So we had to respond to customers within a certain period of time. And if it didn't happen, then it was my head on the block. So what the feedback we get from Rhino clients is now is, well, you know, really fast, you know, really good, fast, quick response. And it comes from working in that industry, you know, trying to manage that when we had hundreds and hundreds of inbound telephone calls, emails on a daily basis that none of them could get missed. You know, we had to get back to other people. We had to make sure that each inquiry was dealt within a specific time frame based on the severity of the issue that was coming in. So was that the right time? Maybe it was getting there. I was getting a bit more rounded. But then the next business that I went into, I was doing much more. It was health and safety, but I was also selling something I'd not done before. But that was kind of was the last piece of the jigsaw. The whole selling element, once I nailed that, once I knew I could do it, then I knew then that I'm ready. And, you know, I think I've got everything I need now. I know I can do every element required, maybe not particularly brilliant. And I think that's where Kate comes in. Because, you know, with the finances and the accounts things, yeah, you know, I can do the basics, but could I do them every day? No, A, it would probably drive me insane, and B, I'm not particularly good at it. So yeah, that's where, when we set up Rhino, Kate coming in to take that element away from me, freed me up to then focus on the sales element and the health and safety element of it. So, you know, looking back, I think each job that I had done prior to Rhino had like filled a piece of the jigsaw. However, once I've finished the jigsaw, there was still never like the right time to then start. So like you're saying, it's never, you can always go, oh, well, you know, or I've just had a kid or just bought a new car or whatever it may be. There's always never going to be the right time. However, there's always, you need to look at your own situation. You know, if you're due a bonus in 6 months from your current company, you may be a bit silly to leave before you get the bonus. So, but it's, I think
you kind do of personal situations, isn't it? And you eventually you have to make that leap of faith. How much do you think it made a difference having that partner that, you know, to in the business with you? Because that's something that one of the founders of Goat Agency, we spoke briefly about just before we pressed record. I remember listening to a kind of startup, I think it's called the Startup Diaries podcast. And they're all about startups, basically, obviously. And they had started having some guests on, and they had one of the founders of that in, and they said, what advice would you give to someone that wants to start a startup? And he said, find another founder, find somebody, because you can do it on your own. But it's just that security blanket of you having to make those big, very difficult, potentially life-changing decisions for your business. You know, do we take this client, do we do this, do we do that, whatever it is.
It's easier to kind of have bounce it off to somebody. And then how different is that with it being your wife as well? Because you must have a very strong personal relationship as well as a professional relationship to be able to, you must work very well together.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if you look at, I think Microsoft, if you look at Apple, they all started with two people. Not that I'm comparing ourselves to them. Rhino wouldn't be what it is now without Kate. You know, she's very modest, and she's like, well, I don't know much about health and safety. But you need that other person to bounce ideas off. You're always questioning yourself as to, am I doing the right thing? Always. You're always like, oh, should I take someone on? Should I take an office on? What should my prices be? Mm. And I'll say to her, oh, I'm thinking of doing this. And I'm kind of just
thinking out loud.
I'm kind of just thinking out loud. Mm. But we've made some great decisions because we've talked things through, and then it may be something that I've got in my head that we've gone a completely different way on, and vice versa, something that Kate's been considering and then we've completely disregarded that. And I think it's very important that you don't necessarily need to have a partner, because that can get very complicated and very confusing, and there's a lot of people out there that regret going into business with a partner. But you certainly need some form of business mentor, you know, paid or unpaid, or, you know, grabbing a coffee with someone. Like I said about what I was doing before, you certainly need that person to just bounce ideas off. For example, I 12 months ago, I got a coffee with my ex-boss that I was telling you about before. We were having a chat about the growth of Rhino. I was telling him about what I wanted to do. Wanted to take on more staff, wanted to take on a general manager. Obviously quite expensive costs. And he reined me in a bit and said, how much money have you got in the bank? And I was like, oh, that's okay. Yeah, hey, you know, it is a bit of a personal question, but he was like, well, you know, do you have 3 months worth, you know, of overheads in the bank? I said, no. Why do I need 3 months worth of overheads? And he said, look, you know, you don't have the money now to take someone on. You know, you could afford them for maybe a month. If it doesn't work out, you know, you're going to start damaging your business. You need 3 months worth of overheads in the bank. So if opportunity appears, because the other thing that we were discussing with him was buying another business as well, buying a competitor or a training company to bolt onto Rhino. And he said, look, you don't have the cash, you can't really, you can take a loan out, but you need a bit of cash yourself. Plus, if something serious happens, you need 3 months worth of cash in the bank to keep your business going. And I was like, what's going to happen? What serious thing is going to happen?
It's not like a global pandemic's going to come around the corner, is it?
So I look back now and I think, wow. So over the past 12 months, we've been slowly funneling money into a savings account.
Jesus. I mean, if you business hadn't savings had that conversation, account. You would be in a different position now, I would assume.
Yeah, totally. So we'd funnel that money in. I mean, we already had the savings account set up to put our corporation tax and VAT into. Anyway, so it was there, and one of our business goals for the previous 12 months was to increase what we're saving. So we've got 3 months worth of overhead. So if something went wrong, we cover ourselves for 3 months. So, you know, if we hadn't had that conversation then, this COVID-19 would have had a much bigger impact on us, you know, than it has done now. Obviously, as business owners, we're still a bit wary of where everything is going to go. However, we are in a very strong position, you know, to move forwards and to see us through this more so than we would be if we hadn't. And I think that just shows you the importance of having someone to just talk through. Don't have to take their advice. You know, we work with business coaches. Like I say, speak to my dad all the time about business issues. I speak to Dave, who's my ex-boss, regularly, and grab a coffee. You might get conflicting views, and we do, but yeah, it's you as the business owner to make the decision. You need to decide on which way. It's your business, and the views of one person is not necessarily going to be correct. You know, you need to take all these ideas, take all this information in, and then decide what you're going to do with that. You may, you know, I remember, you know, we disregarded a number of things and decided to go, you know, to go a completely different way sometimes. And I think that's what you need to do. But yeah, having a business partner where you know, whether it is a formal business partner like Kate in at Rhino Safety, or just having a business mentor, is invaluable. The difficulty that we have is, what do you do when, for example, I say, I think we want to take on a new member of staff, and Kate says no. What do you do then? So what we found, we would just go around in circles. So I would say, you know, I want to take someone on because X, Y, and Z. Kate would say, I don't want to take someone on because they're X, Y, and Z. And then we'd just go around in circles and nothing would, you know, nothing would happen. And that's one of the drivers behind us using business coaches. So we would, you know, speak to these business coaches that would obviously know our business and what we do. And, you know, we would put forwards, you know, well, this is what I want to do. This is what Kate wants to do. So we got into quite an interesting dynamic of just going around and around in circles until we actually, you know, started using a business coach. But I think, you know, as long as your goals are aligned, Kate and I, both our goals are, you know, aligned. We know what we want to do. We just work very differently in terms of getting there, and that's,
which is a benefit in its own right, isn't it? I mean, that kind of that diversity of opinions and experience, and it's something I talk about a lot. Is a book by Matthew Syed and Rebel Ideas. If you haven't read it, but just get it. It's mind blowing. But that it talks to potentially about like the power of kind of cognitive diversity, you know, of just a difference in sex can make a difference, just your cultural upbringings and all that can make a difference. And I think the point that you said there that I really liked was essentially what we have, and I think this is quite similar to the world of safety as well, is like there is so much information out there, but people seem to fully commit to one full model. Whether you're talking about business, you know you talk to one person, they say, well, you must do it this way, and you're like, right, okay, we do it that way. And then you go talk to Simon, for example, who says, well, we do it this way, and then you're like, oh, well, now which way do I do it? It's the same with safety. You know, people are like, oh, I'm safety one, I'm safety two, or I'm traditional safety, or I'm behavioral based safety. It doesn't bloody matter. What it means is you've got all this like buffet of advice. You don't go to a buffet. Well, I might, but you don't go to a buffet and get everything. You get what you like. Yeah. Rugby players do pretty much. Yeah. But it's like, you know, you go in there and you get what you like, get what works for you. And that's,
I think it's important taking that buffet analogy on board. I think it's important you try things out and then you double down on what works. You know, in business, we tried a lot of networking. And we found that some groups worked and some didn't. Or some some forms worked and some didn't. So then we double down on the stuff that does work. You don't want to flog a dead horse. If it's not working, pack it in. You know, like I said before, I speak to and still do a lot of competitors. Now, one of the competitors in particular gets all or a lot of his business from a networking group. Now, we've tried a similar networking group. Doesn't work for us. Didn't work. Didn't get anything or very little.
Yeah.
But previously, he was in a different networking group and then left. We joined that networking group and we got business from it, but he never did. So it's very, very strange. You're talking two companies in the same industry doing exactly the same networking group and getting different results.
It could be the personality.
So try.
It could be anything. There's so much to it. I think that's a really good point. And I think that's a sign of not just a good business owner, but even within the safety concept of business or any leader, it's a sign of a good leader to be articulate. We're going to try this. And then 6 months down, I go, oh shit, that didn't work. Let's try something else. You know, whether it's 6 months, 5 months, doesn't matter, you know, years down the line. How did you find that that kind of, we'll have this question and we'll probably leave it there to move on to part two. But it was, what I find interesting is how did you find the, and you've probably already answered this by like when you were going through your difference of experience. So that kind of helped. But I think a challenge for some people, say for me, for example, if I started my business tomorrow, is going from a fully fledged safety professional, have been for 8+ years now, before that a chef, before that went to college to be an electrician. You know, none of those taught me so far, well, safety does, but how to, you know, do the HR side of management, how to employ people, how to, like you said earlier, pick how much you're going to charge people, do taxes, do insurance, all of this stuff. You know, how did you find that transition? And we'll probably get into the nuts and bolts of it in part two, but just that kind of transition, I think, is an interesting conversation in its own right.
Just about having those people around you that know these things. You know, I don't know how to do our accounts and stuff, but our accountants do. So, you know, if I've got a problem with the accounts, we'll just pick up the phone to them. You know, they are full-time accountants. They're going to know how to deal with it. You know, we've just, we're looking at applying for these COVID-19 loans at the moment. And we've had some issues interpreting the questionnaires and things that we have to fill in from the bank. So pick up the phone to our accountants and we've been talking to them about this. You know, they've already done a number of these applications. They know what these forms look like and they know how best to answer. So I think it's very important that you surround yourself with, you know, people that can help you. You know, you get a decent insurance broker. And the amount of times I just pick up the phone to the insurance broker and say, oh, you know, got a question about this, got a question about that. And it's just making sure you get out there. And if you are getting out there, which is obviously one of the things that I mentioned before, you're going to meet these people anyway. You go to networking events, there's going to be an insurance broker there. There's going to be an accountant there. There's going to be a HR person there. But the other thing is as well, just go on the internet. You know, there's ACAS. You just ring ACAS with any HR issues. You know, you can speak to them. It's free. You know, they'll help you and get you through that as well. So I think there's a lot of resources out there. And I don't think anyone should be afraid of starting up their own business because they're overthinking things like that. There is help available for anyone setting up a business. You know, look at your local Chamber of Commerce. We've been a member of a number of Chamber of Commerces, and some of them have got their own startup sections, their own startup networking groups, their own startup advice lines, their own startup documentation you can download, a lot of it for free, or a lot of it for just the membership fee of less than £100 a year. So I think there's a lot of advice, there's a lot of help out there. So I don't think anyone should be afraid of setting up. It's not difficult to set up the business, it's just difficult to run it. You've got to have a certain mindset. But yeah, I wouldn't hold back.
What about that transition is to going from I say sole trader, but yeah, you obviously wouldn't have been, but like that kind of one man band, your wife and you,
yeah,
or you know, one couple band,
yeah,
to employing people. Because I think when we just kind of had our intro chat, there's something you said which I won't spoil it. I'll let you do that. You kind of put on the walls of your office, which resonated really hard with me, because from working in the one thing I enjoy about safety is we get our fingers into every single pie of a business, you know, in when you're working as a safety professional. So I've been really fortunate to grow relationships with just so many people in so many different organizations and businesses, etc. And you know what the consistent thing I find is how poorly we treat our staff, in my opinion, not just from a safety point of view, but from like I say well-being, but you know, just being nice people. Like, let's not overcomplicate this. Like, you know, don't be a dick about it. Like, if you've got, and to get to the point, like when I say to my wife about that, the amount of times that, you know, we met in hospitality, so both of us run a pub basically. And you know, you get customers that talk to your staff like absolute dross, and you get it in customer services. When I was in manufacturing, I've stood in a room trying to problem solve for a customer, which primarily wasn't our fault, and he was just talking about the customer services advisor who he knew was on the call, like absolute, I wouldn't talk to people I hate like that. It was disgusting. And I think as a manager, like, yeah, I feel like you've got to protect your staff. Like, and how did you find that kind of transition from, and have you come across a situation like that as well, where you've gone, well, this client actually is a bit of a cancer to our business. It's, you know, damaging our staff,
yeah,
who are our biggest asset.
So yeah, I mean, one of the quotes that me and Kate originally set the business up by is, we don't work with dicks. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we've always said, because in our previous jobs, like you just mentioned there,
so many
our bosses were fine, you know, we didn't have any issues, but being customer service facing, deal with clients and stuff like that, there were some clients and they were horrendous to their staff. I have never seen anything like it. You know, a particular one that I did a lot of work for was a bakery, and the guy there, he was, I think, is it called Hitler syndrome, where he's like short, but he literally went around effing and jeffing all day, every day, at everyone, and I just couldn't understand it, and I vowed that if I ever started a business, I would never, ever, ever do it like that. So it's something that me and Kate had always said. And then I think about 6 months ago, we just moved into a new office. And we wanted decorating, and we've got some little baby rhinos that have been put up on the walls. And we wanted some lettering on the walls, and we actually got "We don't work with dicks" written in big letters on our wall as well. And a lot of the staff thought we were joking when we said we were going to get it done, and we were a bit shocked when they came in the next day to see that there. And it really works. You know, it's part of our culture that we don't work with dicks. And I remember a few months ago, one of our consultants went out to Manchester to see a client, and he's been a bad payer. You know, he wasn't paying on time. Then he sends a check, and then the check has to clear. And so Pete went to see this guy. He'd arranged the time. He'd agreed the time that week. Turned up, wasn't there. Tried to rearrange it. Guy wasn't there. So Pete came into my office and was chatting, and he said, "Look, I don't think we should work with him." And I was like, "Well, you know, we'll pay us a decent amount of money, Pete." You know, and Pete just turned around and pointed to the wall where it says, "We don't work with dicks." I said, "Look, you got me. You know, that's exactly why." you know, we had it, it's part of our culture. And we wrote a letter, you know, that afternoon, posted it off to this guy, and we sacked the client. And I think it's very important. Yeah, so when you're on your own and you've got a lot of time, you can spend that time looking for new clients. Then when you've overcome that, when you've got a bank of clients on board, then you can be more selective. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't necessarily need their money. And what you'll find is when you go through this process, you will get rid of certain clients that are wasting time, and you replace them with better clients, clients that want to work with you. And certainly in health and safety industry, it can be really frustrating. And this is what Pete was saying to me as well about this client. Pete goes and sees him, recommends certain things to look after the safety of his staff, and this guy will just ignore him. Yeah. And that's not what you want when it comes to a health and safety consultancy. So what you find, you'll get rid of these people, you get rid of these clients, and you'll replace them with better ones. You'll find better clients. You'll find clients that pay you more. You'll find clients that will not use up as much as your time.
Mm. And what I like about it as well, Simon, is that you put it on the wall, right? Which, let's be honest, so many businesses do that now. You know, they put words on the wall. And what I like is your Pete was his name. He held you to account to that. He said, like, hang on a minute, Simon. Look at what you wrote on the wall. And then you made that decision to say, fair enough. That's what me and Kate decided we wanted our business to look like. And we committed to that. Like, I think that it's so important, in my opinion, whether you're going to be a consultant, whether you're going to be, it doesn't matter what, you know, whatever business you're in, if you decide on your values, you need to stick to them. And if you don't, you think, actually, I need to change that, then hold your hands up and say, I need to change that. You know, okay, I'm going to keep this client, so I'm going to take that off the ball. I'm going to replace it with, we don't mind working with Dix if they pay well. You know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But standing by it, I think, is the most. How many times do we see businesses that say, we put safety first, or we care about our customer, or whatever, and actually they don't back it up. And what they do on a daily basis contradicts it.
Well, I think, you know, that's really important. You know, one of the main reasons, or the main reason that we set up Rhino, was to be happy. It's what me and Kate wanted at the time. And about 12 months ago, we got really focused in on the numbers, and we were pushing for growth, and our targets were set, and they were set pretty high, and we were struggling to hit them. Yeah. And we weren't happy anymore, and we had a meeting, and we just took it right back to the start. Said, look, you know, why did we set up? We set up because we wanted to be happy. We're not happy at the moment, and we sacked off all the targets, and now we're back at being happy again. So I think it's very important to always circle back to why. You know, why do you want to set up your own business? And going back to your other question as well, as to how we went from a, you know, one man band, or one man and one woman band, and took that leap to actually take people on, because obviously it's a leap to set up on your own, and then it's a leap to actually take the next stage, which is to employ people. So it got to the end of our first 12 months trading, and we had turned over more than what we'd ever envisaged. You know, our business plan went out the window after 6 months because we'd already hit our target, which was obviously amazing. But it got to the point where we literally didn't have any time in the day to facilitate running the business, looking after clients and things like that. So we sat down and we said, look, we need to make a decision now. We need to either not take any more clients on and start turning people away, or we need to take staff on and grow the business. Yeah. Interestingly, I did tell you that Kate was used to work in employment law. When we first set up Rhino, we said, we're not taking anyone on. We're never, ever ever going to take anyone on, because we'd seen the bad side of employing people. Mm. Working in employment law, Kate was sacking people, Kate was disciplining people. And I think it just, all you see is the bad. You see the bad
stain on it, kind of.
Yes. So we said we are never, ever taking anyone on.
And obviously you're not going to say now that you stand by that and you hate all of the staff you've got, but I would imagine that your opinion on that has changed.
Kate was dealing with the bad elements when it comes to employment law. She wasn't seeing the good side of things. She, you know, and I think that obviously tainted her view on taking someone on. But yeah, it got to the point where we were so busy that there was, you know,
it was a no-brainer.
There was two options. There's two options: we take someone on, or we don't grow anymore. The other problem was we were working from home. We were around our dining room table, so it meant that if we were to take someone on, we had to take an office on as well. Right. So it was like a double whammy. Mm. So in terms of overheads, you know, our overheads were like pretty low like that, and then we were going to have to go, you know, salary and an office. Mm. So this is where we were going around in circles. So I was saying, I want to grow, I want to take someone on. And Kate was saying, I don't want to take anyone on because, you know, all this bad stuff and I don't know if we can afford it. And this is where we engaged our first business coach. And he actually went through everything with us, went through our numbers. And we had that confirmation that, you know, we could take someone on, we could afford it, we can do it. And I think it needed that extra, that validation from someone else, just to give us that kind of green light, just to say, yeah, you're that doing the right thing.
Unbiased opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, because we were just in this, you know, this cycle where we were just, you know, we can't keep working all these hours, but then we don't want to take someone on, and we were just kind of going round and round in circles. So.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
I think that's good. I like the way that you kind of acknowledge that, that you needed that kind of outside of opinion as well. So kind of you got like this third partner / founder that you know, is unbiased and stuff like that. So, but anyway, Matt, I'm going to have to leave part one there because I have another call in 10 minutes and I need this download before that. Before that starts, so you know what my internet's like. It took us 2 hours to get this call going.
I know. Totally worth it.
I think that's quite good. We've got like a real insight into like the beginning of your journey, and then in the second half, we just kind of talk about just a lot more of that. Just much more of a conversation about, you know, actually running that stuff and using social media and stuff like that. But cool. Well, I'll end it there, and we'll talk to you again in part two.
All right, no worries.
Okay, guys, hope you enjoyed that episode. That was part one of two, where we're talking all about how to build a consultancy with Simon. So make sure you stay in tune for next week's episode. If you enjoyed this, then, and you're watching on YouTube, give us a comment below whether you have decided to start your consultancy or not, and why. Let us know in the comments below. If you're not listening on YouTube and you're just listening on podcast, when you get home, connect with us on any of these social media that are coming on your screen for YouTube right now. But on Twitter, it's Rebranded Safety, and on Facebook and LinkedIn, it's Rebranding Safety. So, have I just said it wrong again? On Twitter, it's Safety Rebranded. And then on everything else, it's Rebranded Safety like normal. I think I said it wrong. Anyway, if you listen on iTunes, please give us a rate and review, because it really helps do the algorithm, do its little magic thing, and helps us get into other people's ear holes and bring value to the rest of the world. Talking of bringing value, if you think of one person that would benefit from this episode, a friend of yours that's starting a business, starting a consultancy, whatever it is, please share this with them and help us help them. Otherwise, we'll catch you in part two next week. Safe.